my heart today that I want to get us moving forward in. The title of today's message is A World in Need of God's Presence. A World in Need of God's Presence. And if I went ahead and made it a little longer, I would have said a world in need of God's presence manifested through God's people. And I feel such a heavy burden. I really can't even express it to you. It's something very personal between me and the Lord. As we move into this new year, as we move into this time of fasting, I've got a burden. I have a burden for the world around us. My kids are growing up in this world, so are yours. My family's having to walk daily in the midst of a culture that has become something that I hardly even recognize. It's kind of a time to recap the year. Let me do that. I've printed out a little something from Church and Culture that I thought was interesting. There's a number of ways to recap the year, many of which are interesting. You can look at a year in terms of notable deaths, viral events, political rises and falls. But how do you really get a snapshot, if you will, of the 12 months that comprise 2016? How do you get, if you would, a culture zeitgeist? That's a big German word. It basically means worldview or the way we see the world. And James Emery White says, I would argue for two words, Google searches. Google searches. He goes on to say, I'm not saying that this will be what historians will mark in 10, much less 100 years, even less what is most significant, but I will say that it may be the clearest window into our current soul of our culture. So here we go with a few peeks into our inner world, this world we've lived through and lived in this past year, 2016, courtesy of Google itself. Top 10 trending searches. Here they go. Top 10. I'm not actually going to read all 10. I'll read a few of them. Number one trending search over the whole year. Guess what it was? I mean, you'd have a hard time even guessing. Powerball was the number one search for Google over the whole year. I think there was a big, huge... Number two was Prince. Number three, Hurricane Matthew. Number four, and I heard it this morning from one of our kids, Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. The Olympics, David Bowie, Donald Trump, the election, Hillary Clinton. Top 10 how-to searches. How-to, you know, how do you do this? Number one, the number one search of Google over the whole year, 2016. How do you play Pokemon Go? There it is again. There it is again. Number two, how do you register to vote? And number three, how do you play Powerball? Number four, I'm not sure where this one came from. How do you make slime? That was the number four search on Google. That means literally millions and millions and millions of people out there were trying to figure out how to make slime. Get this one, number five. How do you move to Canada? Number six, here we go, Pokemon Go again. How do you battle in Pokemon Go? Number seven, I thought this one was funny. How do you appear funny? That was the number seven search. Number eight, how do you catch Pokemon Go? Golly, the Pokemon Go thing is just crazy, isn't it? How do you vote early? And then number 10, how do you use Snapchat filters? Isn't that interesting? Here's the top 10 what is questions. What is? Number one, what is Pokemon Go? A little repetition. Here, this is interesting. What is a caucus? You know, we heard a lot about that, didn't we? What is Brexit? Interesting. What are electoral votes? What is the Electoral College? What is Aleppo? What is the Mannequin Challenge? We showed you one of those from our youth group the other day. What's the European Union? What is Citizens United? What is a superdelegate? And finally, the top 10 people of 2016 that we were interested in. Number one, anybody want to guess? Number one, Donald Trump. Number two, Hillary Clinton. Number three, Michael Phelps. Number four, Bernie Sanders. Ryan Lochte, Simone Biles, Cam Newton, Usain Bolt. Welcome to our world. This is a filter or a view, if you will, into our world and what's going on in our world. And I carry a deep burden for our world. Because again, it's the world my kids are growing up in. It's the world your kids are growing up in. I'll be really honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I almost don't recognize the world around me. I feel like it's changing so fast. You know, I've lived long enough now that I've seen our world go from something that I recognized, I loved, I in so many ways as a young person felt really good about, to something now that I'm deeply, deeply concerned about. There's lots of change, and I don't think it's all positive. I think, in fact, a majority of it seems to be, to me, negative. But I want to say this to you this morning. I think there's another shifting that's taking place. And that's what I want to really talk about and spend some time about and even pray about this morning. I think God's drawing his people into a deeper place with him. And I believe people all over this United States of America are hearing and feeling and sensing a need, a deep need, stirring in their hearts to draw closer to God than ever before. I feel it. I sense it. Stirring within me. I'll be honest, I want to pursue God with everything in me. I want to passionately pursue him. There's a deep stirring in my spirit. I would call it a deep calling unto deep, a beckoning of God's Spirit himself, stirring my heart to know God more, to seek God more, to live more fully for him. I don't want to live without God being my all in all. I don't want to live without God being my passionate pursuit, my first love. I'm hungry for him. I'm thirsty for him. I want to be soaked and saturated, filled and overflowing with his power and his presence in my life. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says this, "Do not remember the former things. Do not consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." Everybody say, new thing. Amen. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." How many of you remember, and I'm dating myself here a little bit, how many of you remember the old song, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the one thing there's just too little of." And boy, is that not true. Where do you find sweet love? I'm telling you, the world has a lot of copycats. The world has a lot of empty offers to find sweet love. But I'm telling you, where you truly find sweet love is in God's presence. It's in an intimate walk with him. That's where real love, true love, deep love, lasting love, unconditional love is found. And I believe the world around us needs God's presence manifested through God's loving people like never, ever, ever before. I don't believe there is any other answer. We're the cure. We're the answer to the ails, the difficulties, the lostness, the darkness, the problems, the tragedies, the challenges of this world. We're the answer. We're God's solution. This church, his church, all over the United States, all across Louisville, Kentucky, all over the world, the Church of Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems and the difficulties of this world. Without his people, we're called to be salt and called to be light. Without God's people full of God's presence, there will be no salt in the world. Salt preserves, salt gives flavor. You take away the salt of God's people, and let me tell you, things will just decay even more rapidly. We're called to be the light. Without God's people full of his presence, there's no light in this world. Remove the light, and it'll be a darkness that will stun you. You ever been in Mammoth Cave when, in that tour, when you're in the middle of the cave and they turn all the lights out? And for a moment, it is just stunning, chilling darkness that you can feel to the bone. And I remember as a little kid sitting there going, "Please turn that light back on." And even a little light just dispels that darkness, that complete blanket of black. We're called to be the light. We're the ones, folks, that God has called and chosen to be his touch in this world. And to do that, we've got to have his presence. We've got to hunger for his presence. We've got to know him and walk with him like we've never have before. I know when it comes about this time of the year, one of the things I always sense is the Lord calling me to go higher with him, to go to new places with him, to kind of up my game, if you will, to walk closer to him. But here's what I know, and I feel it so deeply in my soul, that to go higher with God, first you got to go deeper. And I felt that as I've been praying over these last number of days. I felt the Lord speak to me. In fact, we had a number of great words that came forth from our staff time of prayer the other day. I felt the Lord say, you go deeper and I'll go wider. You go deeper with me. You put your roots down even deeper in me. You dig your well deeper with me. You spend more time in my presence with me, and I'll expand your influence. I'll move those boundary stakes, and I will strengthen, I will lengthen your cords. I believe it's always true. This world doesn't need people who are an inch deep and a mile wide. This world needs people who are a mile deep in God. And then God expands that influence from there, because there's a depth of their character, of their calling, of the very presence and passion of God that just resides in them, abides in them, and flows through them. I'm excited to be here today, this first day of the year. Man, for me, this is awesome to have this opportunity to kind of set us on course for the days ahead. Listen, going deeper with God, history bears this out. If you're any kind of student of the history of the church, if you're any kind of student of men and women of God who've walked with God and truly impacted the world for Christ, every single one of them have this one thing in common. They had a deep walk with God. It all started in their personal relationship with him. In them discovering what it was to daily be filled with his presence, to daily come into his presence. I love it when a John Wesley says, you know what? My schedule is so booked, it's so packed, I've got so many things to do today that I'm going to need to increase my time in prayer. That's a key, folks. Let me tell you, that's a key. What we have tended to do is look at our schedules and the busyness of our lives. And by the way, busyness can be an enemy of godliness. Let me tell you that. And the enemy can use busyness to get you off track from seeking the face of God so that you won't have any impact really to show for your life. And one day, we're all going to have to answer for the lives we've lived and for the way we've stewarded our time. God's given you a precious gift. It's called time. And it's, you know, right now, the present is a present, right? It's a present because God's given it to you to use for his glory. And one day we'll have to give an account for how we've used this time. And a man like John Wesley, who's one of my heroes of the faith, said, you know what, I got a busy day today. I got a lot on my schedule. That means I'm going to have to pray more. What we tend to do is pray less. In fact, the first thing that drops off our calendar oftentimes when we get busy is our time with God. That's a shame. We've got to repent for that. And we've got to once again prioritize God as first and foremost in our lives. He's our first love. He longs for that place in your heart, in your schedule, in your life. Men and women who impacted this world, who literally changed it in their day and time, spent time in his presence. Quality time, quantity time. They spent time with him. They knew God, not just superficially, but deeply. They had something that the world didn't, and the world knew they had something that they didn't have. See, let me just say to you, God's presence is such a privilege. It's a privilege. And let me just finish this thought a little bit, and then we'll close our time together today. Let's go back and look at God's presence with mankind. It starts in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1, where we're starting our reading today. It starts with God communing with Adam and Eve in the garden. I just love to just kind of picture this in my mind. Love to kind of just put myself there, time travel a little bit. Imagine what this must have been like. that Adam and Eve walking hand in hand, strolling through the garden in the cool of the day. I mean, it must have been spectacularly beautiful. Tracy and I had the privilege and honor being in Hawaii this year, and Hawaii is one of the prettiest places I've ever been. I mean, I can just imagine walking through one of those beautiful, beautiful kind of jungles there in Hawaii, hand in hand with my beautiful wife and God. And Him communing with me, Him talking with me. As we're walking in the cool of the day, it means later in the day, after the day has kind of, the heat of the day has subsided. And can you imagine how awesome that must have been? And it gives me the idea that they're talking about their day. That literally Adam and Eve are strolling along saying, God, today was a good day. You were with us and You blessed us. And wow, your blessings were just so abundant. And thank You for Your love. We just feel Your love in such a real way. Look at all that You've entrusted us with. I mean, it was just such an intimate, wonderful, beautiful thing they had there. But then sin enters the picture and all that's lost. Talk about one of the most grievous things that's ever happened in the history of mankind. That's it right there. When sin enters the picture and that sweet, intimate fellowship with God is lost. And then through the Old Testament, there's all these different attempts to have the presence of God. There's all the rules and regulations. There's the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, the temple. And God's presence dwells there in the Holy of Holies. And there's just a lot of rules and regulations regarding coming into God's presence now and entering into God's presence because of our sin. And it becomes at that point all about behavior. And very few people get to enter into the presence of God. In fact, only the high priest once a year got to truly go into God's presence. But thank goodness the story doesn't end there. Thank goodness it does not end there. Let's move to the New Testament. John 1:14. Man, I love this verse. Look at it with me. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, folks, God came to us after we had lost this sweet, intimate fellowship with Him. He so longed for the restoration of that He left the glory of heaven and came here to restore that sweet, intimate fellowship that we could have with Him. God's presence is such a privilege. Do you realize the price that was paid that you and I could come into His presence every day? I'm still blown away by this fact. God came near. God lived among us. He lived like us. He experienced all the things that we experience in this life. And then He stretched His arms out and He died for us so we could come back into the sweet fellowship with His presence. So we could once again talk with Him every day. He came to recapture what was lost way back in the garden. That sweet fellowship that Adam and Eve had. And God's presence is available to you now. You can come before Him. You can worship Him. You can experience Him. It's a wonderful reality. And yet here's the sad fact. Many of us don't even make the time to be with God. We don't do what it takes to truly be in His presence. I'm answering a call from the Lord myself to go deeper with Him this year. I was up in the middle of the night a few nights ago and just felt the Lord just beckoning my heart, calling my heart. Where have you been, Jeff? Why are you not seeking me like you should? And I found myself in I haven't used it in a while is this, but it used to be my little sweet place with the Lord. And I was there on my face before Him, spending time with Him, just feeling Him say, I want more time with you. Pursuit of God. It looks a lot like hungering and thirsting. In these next few weeks, we're going to enter into some hungering and thirsting physically so that we might once again recapture a hunger and a thirst spiritually. So that we might hunger for Him more than we hunger for the things of this world. Sometimes the reason we're not hungering is we've stuffed ourselves with the things of the world, which are temporary and do not satisfy. Matthew 5:6 says these words, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they might be filled. Is that what it says? for they shall be filled. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Have you truly been hungry? I mean, it's hard in our culture of excess. We throw food away all the time because we've got excess. There's not many times in my life where I've truly been hungry. There are a couple. They were on long fasts. I remember the first time I fasted for 21 days. I remember around day 10 being so weak that I was taking a hot shower and I almost passed out. I was so weak. I lost 21 pounds on that fast, and back then I didn't have as many pounds to lose. But I experienced to some degree a level of hunger and thirst for God that I hadn't experienced before. If you hunger and thirst long enough physically, you put yourself in a position literally where there's the potential that you could die. You can only go about 3 days without water, about 40 some days without food, maybe 60 at the most. And if your hunger's not met, if you're not satisfied, you will die. I guess I would just say to us here this morning, are we willing to go after God like that? So hungry for Him that we're willing to give up our very lives. I was hungry on day 10. I was hungry all the way to day 21. Hungry for food, but even hungrier for God. Because it stirred in me a hunger for Him. Are you hungry for Him? Hungry enough to give up the lesser things of this world, the things that won't truly satisfy? I'm going to ask you to enter in these next 3 weeks. And it's between you and God, how you fast, what you set aside, what you do. Many of us are fasting at different levels, different degrees. Many of us are doing away with social media. Thank God. What a relief that'll be. Many of us are turning our TVs off. We're getting our hearts and our minds focused on God so we can seek Him, so we can soak in His presence, be saturated in His presence, be filled and overflowing with Him. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to ask the worship team to come up and the ministry team to come up, please. I want to pray with you while you have your heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe there's somebody here today and you've come, and quite honestly, if you're being real before God today, you don't really know Him. You've never really committed or submitted your heart or your life to Him. In other words, you've never come to God and said, you know, God, I really want to fellowship with You. I really want to know You. And I want to confess my sin before You, the sin that caused Adam and Eve to lose that sweet fellowship with You. I've sinned. I've made mistakes, and I need Your forgiveness. If you're here today and you have never asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart, to be your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. Right where you're seated right now, that place where you are can be a place where you meet with God. You can just say to Him something like this, pray it from your heart and say, Dear God, I need You and I want You. Forgive me where I failed You. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to be a man, a woman that follows after You, that knows Your ways, that experiences Your presence, that lives for You. Teach me how to live for You from this day forward. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed. If you prayed that with me, would you just hold your hand up across the room? Would you just hold your hand up? I just want to rejoice with you, see your hand, and just say praise God with you. To the rest of us here this morning, I just want to pray for us that God will stir a hunger. Maybe He already has. I believe He is in many of our hearts. But maybe this week is the week He just really begins to get you focused and you begin to have a stirring in your heart like you've not had before to seek Him. Lord, I pray for every heart in this place. I pray for every person. I feel confident of this one thing, that everyone here will only find their deepest satisfaction in this life in You. I feel confident of that. So, Lord, I pray You'd stir every heart in this place to seek You like never before, to set You first and foremost in their hearts and their lives. Stir every heart for Your glory. Call us all, Lord, into that place of sweet fellowship with you, deeper fellowship with you. In Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen. Would you stand with me for a moment? We're going to sing and worship the Lord. And these folks are here to pray for you. Whatever need you have, they would love to pray for you and believe God with you today. So we're going to sing. And if you have a prayer need, come. And then I'll come back and close this in just a moment. God bless you.